Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 36 of the Depressed Breakfast Club. This week, we're going to be tackling politics and how social policies may affect your mental health. So before we go any further, and anybody gets on a soapbox, we are going to say that we're not medical professionals. If you feel like you have a mental illness, please seek medical help. Call your family doctor. Go into a walk-in clinic. Even call the mental health association in your area. Do what needs to be done. Don't go off your medication. If you're on medication, talk to a professional. And if you're having really bad struggles, Peanut is going to give you some phone numbers.
All right, so if you're feeling suicidal or you need somebody to talk to, you can call the suicide hotline in Canada at 1-833-456-4566, or you can text message 45645. And in the U.S., you can call 988, or you can text TALK to 741-741. So if you're feeling suicidal or you just need somebody to talk to, please reach out. And on to Taylor.
Good morning, everyone. And for once, we're back on to Saturday mornings for 1 week, at least.
Huzzah!
Yay, go us! As always, the general reminder that our email is depressedbreakfastclub@gmail.com, all lowercase. We love to hear from you guys. The quote for this week that I went with is, "It is the mark of an educated mind to entertain a thought without accepting it," which I think kind of goes, for me, goes hand in hand with politics in general, just because it's, I find it's a safer place to be in if you're able to stand there and hear someone who has a differing opinion than you, especially when it comes to politics, religions, all that fun stuff. Soapbox is edging out already.
I'm stacking mine.
You know, and here's another one. Here's another one. Just like, I got a full on pyramid here. But at least like for me, I'm able to hear both sides of it. I don't necessarily agree with everything that people say, because there's a lot of people who feel strongly about whatever, fuck Joe Biden or fuck Trump or this or that. And I'm like, okay, I don't get into politics because to me, no matter what, they're all liars. They don't truthfully have the power to actually do anything. Excuse me. Because they're just figureheads. Shut up, Peanut. But they don't actually have power to be able to do anything, because you look at, even for being prime minister, he can't just walk in one day and be like, well, I've decided I'm going to make pot legal throughout the country and not put it to a vote. He just does it himself. He has to win all of the votes or the majority of the votes to get something passed. So if your own house doesn't agree with you, you can be voted down and be like, right, all right, well, we tried, but didn't get it because we didn't get the votes. So I just tend to sit there and go, well, they're all figureheads. They all lie because they can't do diddly squat. And they all work against each other, just because even though they were actually working towards the same things, they just vote against each other just on the principle alone of, well, I hate you. You're the opposite side of the house.
Yes. And the people that have different opinions than yourself. So for me, I don't get into heated discussions about politics with anybody, not my family, not my friends, not strangers on Facebook, nobody. Religion, yeah. Politics, no. And it's basically because exactly what you said, Taylor. They're all liars. Mm-hmm. They're gonna, during the campaign, they're gonna say whatever the fuck they think is gonna make you vote for them. Mm-hmm. What pisses me off is when somebody like Justin Trudeau, who's been our prime minister for almost 8 years.
Ooh, yeah.
Remember this, friends, 8 years. Every 4 years, We get a vote on that. 8 years he's been almost our prime minister, and I see businesses in LaSalle flying the fuck Trudeau flag. If you didn't like him 4 years ago, why the fuck did he get another 4 years? Oh, because your ass didn't get out there to vote. That's the thing. I find the people that bitch about politics and politicians are the fucking lazy slobs that don't get out and vote.
I have to fully agree with that, just because I see what I find weird and comical to a certain degree is, like you said, there's so many, I have seen so many fuck Trudeau flags, bumper stickers, shirts, hats, you name it. And yet what I find funny is that not only did he get reelected and reaffirmed because they called the vote early this time.
Right.
They called for an early vote during the pandemic, where it seemed like all people were really the most pissed off at him. And he ended up with an extra 1 to 2 seats. So more people voted for him to get more seats in the House. Like, he didn't get the an actual true majority, but he still got 2 more than what he had before.
Exactly.
And yet everyone's sitting there, fuck Trudeau. It's like, did you go out and vote? Because I don't think you went out and voted. Because if you had, that wouldn't have happened.
So, ladies.
She's going to sit there and say she doesn't vote. Peanuts
are just in her box.
It is. It was nice being part of this group. I have only voted once in my entire life.
Oh, look at Peanuts, please.
Oh my God, look on Dana's face right now. Oh, I so wish you all could see this just to...
Oh, I have no words.
And it goes down to, like, the point that, like you were saying, that it doesn't matter who you vote for. I don't follow politics at all because I feel that the politicians work for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
I feel being down here, like in Windsor and Amherstburg, we aren't even really part of Canada.
I was saying, literally known as the asshole of Canada. Just for any of our listeners who don't know.
I find that all politicians...
We're Detroit South.
we're the nicer Detroit.
It's funny because it's true.
and I feel like that they concentrate basically Toronto the biggest.
I would say, yeah, they don't really pay attention to anything in the corridor and down.
No, and so I feel like, honestly, what is the point? Because it doesn't matter who we vote in. They're, like you said, all liars. They work for the rich. They are going to do whatever they want to do, whether it's like the majority of people are for it or against it. They're just going to do whatever they want to do.
So, okay.
Dana's like, oh my God.
You don't vote, but you also don't have arguments with people about politics.
Mm-hmm. No, because I don't know. I honestly don't know a lot about politics. I don't follow it because exactly for those reasons. The things that you read and I hear and I see are all for the greater Toronto area. I think that's where most of their votes come from.
Absolutely. Because they
do everything for them. I feel that being that we're not rich, that we're just the lowly workers, there's so much stuff that, and I'm single, I don't have a family, a lot of stuff is geared toward families, tax breaks and all that.
Yeah, that's true.
What about the single people, right? What about the divorced people or the people that didn't have children? Like, I still have to pay taxes and I still pay bills and I still got to pay rent, and my rent's the same as the family person's rent. you know, until they lower the taxes for a family.
So you have concerns. You just keep them to yourself. Mm-hmm. So now you've just expressed your concerns.
Yep.
So let me tell you, my daughter will be 25 in October. My son is 21. Not once did I receive the baby bonus or child tax credit until one day, and I do believe it was Trudeau in his first year of
Prime Minister,
PMing our nation, where he said, it doesn't matter how much you make. Anybody with children under the age of 18 is going to get the child tax credit. I was like, fuck yeah, finally. Brendan still had a few more years to get to 18. I got $700 popped into my bank account.
Nice.
And I was like, fuck yeah. And I looked at Norm. I said, I'm not spending a penny of it. He's like, what do you mean? I go, because they're going to want it back. I guarantee it. Sure enough. So I got that money in July. In September, I got a letter saying they wanted it back. And it's because, and I'm not trying to brag or anything. My husband is in a tax bracket where we don't get GST. We don't get child tax credit. We don't get Trillium. We don't get any of the subsidiaries that lower income people would get. So Joyelle, you probably get Trillium, you probably get GST. If you don't, who's ever doing your taxes needs a smack in the head.
I do my own taxes, but
well, you better be getting those two subsidiaries.
I do, but I actually, like, so here's again your catch, right? So I do get them, but I owe the government money. I owe taxes, so they just take it from me anyways. But don't you, like, I can't even, I'm a single person, right? But according to the government, like, I make too much money to be able to claim part of my rent. So I can't claim my rent. And I make too much money for other things, according to the government. And so, and every year, I freaking owe money. So
that's more the place of business that you work at.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say you don't deserve the money you make, but they have priced you guys
yeah,
into such a bracket that if, and this is great advice to anybody that can afford it.
Yes.
In January, go into the office and ask them for a tax form.
Yeah, to get more taken off.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, all I did was $10 a week. Basically, at the time that I was working, that $10 a week was 5 coffees at Tim Hortons. I can live without 5 coffees. You don't see that $10, so you don't miss it. Well, I mean, if you're on a budget, you might. And it come tax time, when you file your taxes, you get these amazing returns because now you've overpaid and they got to give you that money back. And it's nice because then you get that little lump sum and you're like, oh, I can do this, I can do that, I can pay off that. And a lot of people don't know to do that.
Yeah, I know about that. And I get what you're saying, but there again, I'm a single income and like I'm still paying, you know, I pay rent isn't cheaper for a single person, right?
Exactly.
Like it's the same amount. So
can I ask you, just sorry to interrupt, Does your dad claim your rent on his taxes?
I believe he does.
Does you get he a give receipt you a from receipt him? Every month?
No.
Get a receipt from him.
But you don't need, because when I was renting, not for my dad, my previous place, and I was paying $1,160, mm-hmm. I would claim my rent, and I couldn't. I made too much.
If you put it in properly, you definitely, like, I pay $1,550 a month, and it makes a huge difference on my my taxes, just because it's any amount that you can write off will help mm-hmm. bring it down substantially. So that way, then you're not owing as much money. Because if you don't put it on at all,
I put it on.
Your I put dad's it on. Basically getting your dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put it. I put it on every year. But yeah, every year when I submit my taxes and that, it doesn't affect it because it says I make too much to claim it.
So you were saying that you can't.
Yeah, like I know it's only like $10, but like
No. No, you can't claim your.
Yeah, my rent. It says
so. Norm works from home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Canadian taxes. I mean, Canadian taxes. If you work from home, you can claim part of your internet, part of your power bill, part of your water bill. Because you're using these things in your home office.
Yeah.
Again, this is where Norm's in that tax bracket where he sits at a table for 9 hours a day on our fucking internet using our lights and our power, and he can't claim goddamn penny because of where he sits.
Yep.
That's bullshit. So for me, and I'm not saying you strictly, but for me, I don't work anymore. Why don't I get Trillium? Why don't I get GST? I still have to pay all that, but it's because this tax bracket up here doesn't get it. So this guy down here gets it. The money that I bring in yearly is well below the poverty line.
Yes.
Well below. It's zero. So it's not so much that the I don't want to use the term rich or wealthy because we're not, but the people that are comfortable get shafted too.
Yeah.
Whereas the millionaires, like you said, Peanut, the rich get richer.
Yeah, they get tax breaks and like, that.
They can afford the $8 for a dozen eggs.
Well, that's what I was just gonna say. You want to say that like I make too much money. The government wants to say I make too much money, and I'm not gonna say that I don't make. I do for a single person make amazing money. Mm-hmm. If, like you just said, all of a sudden eggs that used to be $3 are now $8.
Yep.
Broccoli that used to be $1 is now $6.
Like, a cabbage. You used to be able to buy a head of cabbage for like $1.99.
Sometimes mm-hmm. even less than that.
Yeah.
I was looking at the ad circulars that came in the paper to see what was on sale. They're selling cabbage by the pound now.
Oh my God.
And it was like 79 cents a pound. So if you wanted
cabbage is heavy.
A nice cabbage to make cabbage rolls, you need one that's relatively big, so maybe 3 or 4 pounds. You're now paying $5 for your fucking cabbage.
Yeah.
That's grown down the goddamn road from you.
I was saying, cabbage used to be for the poor people.
Yeah. Well, same with hot dogs. Hot dogs, ground beef.
Mac and cheese.
ground beef now for like a freaking pound is like close to $10 for a pound of ground beef. Like, and this is where, again, like, to me, I feel like, and the politicians are politics, and that they do nothing. They do nothing
for them. They can control inflation.
Because the rich can
control the price gouging going on right now.
Yeah, it is price gouging. How can it not?
But they don't. Like, you see, because I sometimes read the news. I pay a little bit attention. IT feeds me a lot of shit, too, while he's working. I'm like, did you hear this? And I'm like, what now? But, Zayre's, Loblaws.
Oh.
They made, like, $14 billion last year. $14 billion. Why the fuck did you jack up the price of bread? And you can't say that Mr. Trudeau went to all the grocery corporations and said, hey, y'all, make bread like $18 a loaf. It's the Loblaws individually took on the task of saying, oh my God, we only made $14 billion. We're gonna have to charge them $12 to shop at Zayre's. Yeah, like, we used to shop at Zayre's all the time. We don't go there anymore.
Yeah,
they're so fucking expensive.
The government can step in to curb that.
They can, but they choose not to.
They choose not to.
And let me tell you, if whoever, I think we're coming up to an election year soon, eh?
I think next year or the 2025.
I'm telling you right now, if one of those NDP, PC, liberals, whoever says they're lowering the cost of food and gas, just get my vote.
I always wonder, my question is, I always wonder how the government can allow, how can I go, and we'll just use, because I love pickles, we'll just use pickles as an example. Is I can go to Walmart and buy a jar of just say Bic pickles for say $3.47 or something. But then you go to Sobeys and that exact same jar of Bic pickles is six something.
Because like, Sobeys has the right to raise the price without anybody questioning
them. Yeah, like the government needs to step in. I don't understand how you can pay different prices for the exact same product.
Well, and they all get to choose whatever prices they want to go at. Because, I mean, as much as there's parts that I loved about Sobeys, because obviously I lived in Tecumseh and I liked being able to go there and grab like some of their pre-made foods.
I like, but so I mean,
fucking expensive there.
They
and for
are
stupid
like,
ass reasons. Like, no, just no.
I mean, okay, if you compare Sobeys to Walmart, yes, Sobeys has better quality products, like as far as vegetables and fruits and stuff. And yes, they have a like a deli and stuff like that. But for products such as like pickles, the name brand stuff, like it should be the same price no matter where you go. It's the exact same fucking jar. It's the exact same product.
Yeah.
I say, and that's my issue with it. And it's one of those things, because I'm sure some people are probably listening to this going, we agree with all of it, but what does this have to do with mental health? It fucks with your mental health when you can't afford, if you can't afford a fucking jar of pickles or a loaf of bread. And what's worse is that for those people, there's an added struggle for, like, I know, well, Dana understands because of dairy issues. So you understand the issue of trying to get things that are dairy-free, gluten-free, any sort of food restriction. You go into those areas. Anyone who's listening to this and who hasn't got those issues, go into those areas and compare the prices of a gluten-free pasta compared to a gluten pasta.
It's like three times the amount.
Yeah.
If not more, in some cases, sometimes there's times that I have to pay $11 for some type of gluten-free pasta or $1 to $1.99 for a normal pasta. And you know what? For me, it's not great, but it's okay. I can still have gluten. I'm just going to feel blech afterwards. For other people who don't have a choice, who have to go and spend that money.
People that have celiac disease.
Exactly.
And are only making like minimum wage or something.
Well, even with that, like even just to have celiac disease or any sort of food intolerance, people don't understand, for those who don't have it to a severe degree, don't understand the toll it takes on you physically and mentally, because your body turns against you completely. You can be in horrific pain. You can be vomiting. You could be shitting blood because of a fucking food choice and because you can't afford the healthier option that won't hurt you. Do you know, like that just, it horrifies me that we have that going on. It's like, okay, like looking at something like rice noodles. Those should be freaking dirt cheap no matter what, because rice grows in such abundance. And sometimes they tend to be the cheaper of the gluten-free ones, but sometimes they're still just like expensive as fuck. And like, why? Why do we make it difficult for people? We want them to make the healthier options, make it fucking cheaper. Yeah, make it viable exactly. For people, because there's people...
Make the can of ravioli $8.
Mm-hmm.
And the pre-made salad $1.99.
Yeah, yes. Pre-made salads are crazy priced.
Oh my God. We just talked about this at work. One of the girls went out, grabbed not even a full-size watermelon, grabbed a half-size seed watermelon, brought it over, got her parents to cut it up kind of thing for her, and... She talked with her mom, and her mom's like, why wouldn't you just grab, like, a full watermelon and, like, grab a seedless one? And she was like, well, because this one right here, the seed in half a watermelon was $4.99. You go for the seedless, a quarter of a watermelon, it was $6 or $7. You go for the pre-cut ones in a bigger-ish container, $9-something dollars. Because they add on money every single step of the way. And there's absolutely no fucking reason for it. If you have to cut it in half or cut it into smaller portions, there shouldn't be that much of a jump in price.
So one time at Zaire's, back when we shopped there, I had asked the produce guy, well, not the produce guy, but like the women... that are surrounded by all the pre-cut fruit and veggies yeah. and whatnot, because they were making more. And Sam likes her fresh fruit. And she had asked me to pick her up a little container, you know, those round ones that have the strawberries, grapes, and the yes. melon in it.
Yep.
So a small one, just a small one, and there's no dip in the middle. Just a small one. It was like $13 and change. And I said to her, I go, why is it like this quart of strawberries, a bunch of grapes, and maybe a quarter of each kind of melon is $13 when I can go buy a bag of green grapes for $1.99. I can get a full watermelon for $3.99, and she says to me, she goes, you have to pay for the labor it mm-hmm. takes to put it together. Go fuck yourself, lady. You're getting paid whether you're chopping fruit or not.
Yep.
And the thing with that is, like, they talk about, like, every, like, people being overweight, like, everybody, like, how the, like, more and more people and that are mm-hmm. becoming obese. Overweight. And it's like, well, yeah, because I can't afford fruits and vegetables. The canned junk food is cheaper. And so what are you going to, like, when you don't have a lot of money to spend and you've got to eat for a week or so, like, how, of course, you're going to try and make your money. So that you have, like, if I go for fruits and vegetables, I'm not going to be able to eat for a week. Because
Peanut, you would remember this. I don't know Taylor so much if you would. Only because Amherstburg has a no frills.
Mm.
Do you remember Dollar Days?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I fucking loved Dollar Days. because I could go and get all my canned stuff, pre-packaged stuff, snacks for the kids for their lunches, and all that shit, and spend maybe $60. And then, like, from my food budget, and then I had, like, $140 for fresh fruits and vegetables and meat. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I wish they would go back to dollar days.
And like you were saying, like, with the chopped up fruits and like Taylor was saying with the half watermelon in that. Mm-hmm. Being the thing, too, is being single, like, your friend's mother's, why didn't you buy a whole watermelon? Because I can't eat a fucking whole watermelon in a week before it goes bad, right? Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, you're then what else? Like, maybe I don't want watermelon all week. Maybe I'd like a little bit of watermelon.
Yep.
Maybe I'd like a little bit of grapes and a little bit of this. Like, different fruits and vegetables, right?
That's the hard thing.
So I can't buy sometimes. So the buying the small chopped up stuff is better for somebody that's single, because yep. Otherwise I'm throwing half my food out because it went rotten before I could eat it because there's too much of it.
Yep.
That's honestly the hardest part. Like, it's easier when you have the vegetables because you can take it, you can cut them up, prepare them, and take them, make them into dishes and shove them into the freezer, and it's fine. I find with fruit, it doesn't freeze the same kind of way, because a lot of times you have, like, I'm assuming it's because of a higher water consistency in fruits.
Yeah.
So while they work, like, yeah, obviously it works well for, you get the bags of frozen fruit that you can toss into smoothies and shakes. But if you take it out, like, we all know if you have frozen fruit, you take out and you're like, here, put this on your dessert. You're like, oh, you cheaped out. You went and got frozen
fruit.
It's
just mush.
Why did you say that? You're like, this is disgusting.
Yeah, it's mush. Yeah. As soon as it unthaws.
Exactly. No one wants it. It's gross.
It's so, like, you had a whole strawberry frozen, it melts, it's just a pile of mush.
It's not particularly appetizing. It's like, oh, look, homemade jam.
Yeah, it's like some unknown lump.
This is what happens when I attempt to bake.
It's the blob. It starts, like, going up your spoon. And
here, I'll just go into your mouth for you.
Portion size is another thing.
Yes.
When it comes to groceries, like, my family eats a lot of chicken. My mom's particular to dark meat, thighs. Brendan will eat whatever. Norm and I like white meat, breasts. To go to the store, we're a family of four now. My daughter has moved out. I mean, she comes home for dinner every now and then, but we're now a family of four. To go and buy chicken breasts, to get a package of four chicken breasts is like $12. In order to make more out of our chicken, I'll take it apart, I freeze two breasts, and I use two breasts for dinner. So say mm-hmm. I'm making a stir fry. I don't even use two breasts, I use one. And yep. I cut it up real small. And then I throw, like, bamboo shoots, carrot. Like, anything that is relatively cheaper in the vegetable market, and I can use my mandolin on and shred it so that it looks like more.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not fair. People shouldn't have to do that. People shouldn't have to look at what they can afford in a week and then shop their budget by saying, well, if I use one chicken breast and add 14 potatoes, and you can't feed a family of four on one chicken breast. Mm-hmm. It's not possible. Norm goes grocery shopping because I don't grocery shop. Norm goes grocery shopping, and my husband is a list person.
Yep.
So he makes a list.
So do I.
He goes to the store, and what he comes home with is everything on the list. Well, the other day, my mom said to me, can you boil me some eggs so I can take them downstairs for breakfast? I'm like, sure, Ma. I'll have Brendan run them down when they're done. So I get the pan of water, and anybody that's boiled hard-boiled eggs knows, put a little vinegar and some baking soda in the water so your eggs don't crack. I go to look for the vinegar. Usually we have this, like, I don't know, 4-liter bottle of white vinegar. I'm like, Norm, where's the vinegar? He goes, we ran out. I'm like, you were just at the grocery store. Why didn't you get them? Wasn't on the list. I'm like, son of a bitch. He knew we needed it, but because he hadn't added it to the list yet, he didn't buy it.
He is such a boy.
So I think, does list shopping help you?
No.
No.
It just helps me. It helps me to remember the things that I absolutely need.
Yes.
But then when you get there, there's like, you're like, oh, look it, a new product.
Ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy.
That looks tasty. Popcorn.
A new flavor of potato chips. And that's my thing. I'm a potato chip freak. So they go, a new flavor of potato chips. I need to try that. Or, like, then you're thinking, maybe, you know, I'm thinking in my head, well, then you see maybe they have a steak on sale. And you're like, oh, so you add that in because you can't pass up. It's a good deal. And stuff like the, like a few weeks ago when I had went to Zaire's to just pick up a jar of pickles because I was close to there, and I'm walking through and they had ribs for 99 cents a pound.
Oh,
damn.
And it was like, oh, Jesus Christ. When do they have ribs? Like, but it was like, you know, in a big crying, the vacuum sealed pack.
Yeah.
Ooh. And it's like, but when do you get 99 cents a pound on ribs anymore? And that, so then you add that, because how can you pass that up? I mean, I got 11 pounds of ribs for 11 bucks.
Yeah.
Like, ribs are like 15 bucks now, 20 bucks just for like a pound of them.
And so, again, let's back to the political side of it.
You can tell we all got distracted by the food.
Again, the government can take a stand against corporations that are price gouging.
Yes.
But they don't. Nothing is done. Like, I didn't vote for Trudeau, but he's our prime minister, and I have to respect that.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers me where the nightly news will focus on the fact that his wife left him and not the fact that little old ladies are buying cans of cat food to mix in with some rice because they can't afford real meat. You know what I mean? It's like they don't have their priorities straight.
Well, because they get a big hefty salary.
Oh, God, yeah.
So these prices don't affect them.
Exactly. Exactly.
These financial issues don't affect them.
So, okay, so to divert off of the food, one of the other things, and I know this is a hot topic in Windsor specifically, or actually Greater Essex County, because let's name it what it is. It's for Greater Essex County. We are supposed to be getting a mega hospital built.
Oh, good God, that was like years ago.
Oh, it's still being processed and being put in. It's supposed to finally be built and up and running as of 2027. Now, for those of you who don't live here.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, no, that's their updated. It was going to be 2028. It's all now been moved up a year because they shaved a year off.
Well, that's just like the bridge. Wasn't that supposed to be already the new bridge up and running by 2022?
I honestly have no clue. I don't think so. Like, I thought that was 2020 or 2030 was when that's supposed to be done. Something like that. But anyway, so for those, obviously, a lot of our listeners don't live here. For those who do, you'll understand. So we only have two hospitals here. They are horribly outdated. They have been around for decades upon decades. At one point in time, once upon a time, I think we used to have four, if memory serves, because I was born at Grace Hospital. I was one of the last babies born there before it got shut down and amalgamated into the other two that are still standing. Now, they are horribly outdated. There are constant floods in the basements that cancel the operations because of the OR time, because of all the issues. There is still, if I remember correctly, there's still worries that there's asbestos left in it. There's mold in it. There's cracks in the foundations. There's equipment that needs to be replaced, but can't and hasn't been. So for years, the fucking hospital has been put on hold for being built because people have argued over where it should be located. I am originally from Windsor. That was where I was born and raised. Those that are actually in Windsor are full of themselves 9 times out of 10. I'm not going to defend my people. They are, because of them saying, we don't like the location of where you want to put the hospital. So we're going to put a hold on it and say, no, we don't want it out there. That's too far from us. What about the downtown core? The hospital is for fucking everyone in the entire greater Essex County. It's not about you, Windsor. Get your head out of your fucking asses and stop being selfish. It's for LaSalle, it's for Essex, it's for Amherstburg, it's for Leamington, it's for everybody. We need a good location that anyone and everyone can get to easily. And because of how politics are done, they have allowed it to continuously be postponed because of these people saying, well, we don't like the location of it. My issue with that is, as a politician, I would fucking find a way to veto it and say, listen here, you dumbasses, this is my soapbox moment. I just realized this as I'm stepping up on it going,
you go, girl.
Dana's like, I'm so proud. So if I were a politician, I would find that power, because I know that politicians do have the ability to veto and say, listen, don't give a fuck what you're all saying. We need to have this hospital. It should have been built and operational long before COVID. And we suffered during COVID times. Because we are so outdated and we don't have rooms for it. We don't have the equipment for it. We don't have the staffing for it. Well, guess what, fuck knobs? We don't have all of this nice stuff that we're supposed to have because you all blocked it along the way. Use your fucking politician abilities and say, listen, it's getting done. It's being moved forward. You had your chance to veto it a couple times. We listened to you a decade and a half ago because I was still in high school when this was all starting. Now it's time to actually let it be built by the adults. Sit the fuck down and shut up. That is one of my big issues with politicians. Use your power for fucking good. Not to earn money.
Exactly. Exactly.
It plays into your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of it. Because you feel so hopeless, one.
Mm-hmm.
And because it doesn't matter, like, honestly, this is just my opinion, that it doesn't really, I feel it doesn't matter if you go vote, because they all do the same shit. They're all the same. And everything is just, the state of the world today is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's sad, like, everybody, like, we go to work and you work hard for what? You can't even enjoy your life anymore because you have to go to work like almost 7 days a week just so you can have a car to get you to work so that you can have groceries and feed your family if you can even afford to have a family. Like, you know, and if you want to be able to watch TV or have a phone or or just your basic necessities of life. And so you're just working to pay for your necessities. And there's no enjoyment. You can't afford to actually go and do things like the cost of going to a movie. The popcorn in that is absolutely ridiculous.
All the concessions cost like twice the amount of the fucking tickets.
It's why you wear a sweater with big pockets or you have a purse. And I always just bring my own snacks.
It's just honestly very depressing and it's very draining. And I guess I don't really like follow it because of that, because it just makes me more angry, more upset, more depressed, because everything, again, the rich get richer. And I don't know about the States, but like in Canada, everything is like geared towards Toronto. The London and Toronto area seem to get everything. And yeah, it's just, I find it just, it's hard. It's depressing. It puts you down. It makes you sad.
Cool. So the cost of housing. So like Peanut, you were saying, before you lived with your dad, you had a one-bedroom apartment, correct?
Yeah, about 650 square feet.
And this ain't Toronto. Square feet at $1,100 a month.
Yeah, and this ain't Toronto. I know in Toronto and stuff like that, it's even more expensive for something that size, or New York City and stuff. But this ain't Toronto. This is little rural Amherstburg.
So, again, this is when politicians can step in. Rent for a one-bedroom apartment shouldn't be $1,500 plus utilities. Houses should not be going at the fucking price they're going at.
Well, about the houses, you're talking about that 100 or that one-bedroom apartment going for $1,500, right? So that same apartment that I was living in going for that price is selling for almost $300,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Sam and Phil want to buy a house. Phil is an RN over in Detroit at Henry Ford Hospital. Sam is an employment specialist with the YMCA. Combined, they make good money. They're both savers, so they've saved up quite a bit of money in the 5.5 years that they've been together. They've saved up a very nice nest egg for a down payment. All they want, a two-bedroom house, 1.5 bathrooms, don't even need a fucking basement at this point, and a garage for Phil to park his car in. And we haven't found anything under $450,000 unless you want to live next door to the crack houses.
Yep.
The government, so Ontario government, because the housing market is only bad in Ontario. So this is Doug Ford. Mm-hmm. Doug Ford should be stepping in and saying, whoa. You live in Mississauga and you just outbid 17 people for a house in Windsor, and you practically offered them double what they were asking. No. he should have some kind of stipulation where outsiders, and I say outsiders, anybody past Tilbury, Tilbury North, they shouldn't be allowed to come into our territory. Yeah. Buy our houses and not fucking live in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing. They're buying these houses at extortionate prices and then renting them out for extortionate prices. The house down the street from me. Now, I live in not a gated community, but it's like they call it Strawberry Heights. Because we were once Strawberry Fields.
I like that.
The houses kind of all looked the same. They were all, like, regular price. When Norm and I built our house 23 years ago, it's a four-bedroom, two-bathroom. Yeah, four-bedroom, two-bathroom, split-level ranch, giant kitchen. I love my kitchen. Two-tiered deck, pool in the back, big backyard. We paid $189,000. The house down the street from me, which is the exact same house, only my brick is gray, theirs is red. They sold it, and they just got $585,000 for their house.
Jesus Christ.
Because somebody from Toronto bought the house. It was sold. I saw the people move out. 3 days after they moved out, a for rent sign went on that lawn.
So I don't...
$3,000 a month plus utilities.
Jesus Christ.
Well, that brings up... I don't know if you ladies like heard in the news. I did read an article this week about housing, and they're passing they're not going to charge builders GST. Because they need, they said there's a housing shortage. And so yeah. This is supposed to help them afford to be able to quickly build housing. The problem, like, that's all fine and dandy. But the problem is you're building all this housing. Like, I know in Amherstburg, there's shitload of building, of subdivisions, and there are, like, apartment buildings and stuff going up. But they cost so much money. Who can? You're building them, but no, I can't. The normal average person cannot afford it. Like you just said, like rent starting at like 2,000 plus.
Yeah.
The subdivisions are semi-detached houses starting at $500,000.
Yep.
Like. That's great. Yeah, we have a housing shortage, but that's because nobody can afford to live in a house. Like, I'm 47 years old. Why? I know that Taylor, like, we touched on this last week, and it's one of the things you don't like about, like, our, about over here compared to Europe.
Yeah.
And that. But at 47 years old, okay, with a full-time job, making pretty good money with no kids, there is no reason I shouldn't be able to buy my own fucking house. If I want a house, I should be able to afford that house. If I want to buy to rent an apartment, why do I need roommates to rent a fucking apartment, even a two-bedroom apartment? Like, I'll put it out there, okay? Taylor makes more than me, but I'm
not by over, much now, Peanut.
I'm over, for a single person, $50,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I not be able to afford a one-bedroom apartment or a two-bedroom apartment or a house, for fuck's sakes? When I was married, it's like Dana was talking about when you built your house and that. So when I got married, we bought a house and our semi-detached, And it was the basement wasn't finished, so it was two bedrooms upstairs and one bath. But then you had the whole downstairs that we put in another bathroom, another bedroom, and you had like another living area down there. And our mortgage was $584 a month.
Good days.
Now, I seen, yeah, now just a few weeks ago, whoever bought our house has decided to rent just the upstairs out. They were asking $2,100. And the upstairs is not that big. It's like the house was not a huge house. The lot was big. But I'd say upstairs was probably the size of my apartment that I lived in. And that was probably, it's only probably about like 650, maybe a little bit more square footage upstairs. 2,100. Like, it's not right. I make good money. There's no reason I shouldn't be able to afford a house.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm saying for me, the issue is, like, obviously agree with all of that completely. But then I also have a problem with politics where it comes into the fact of, it's always bothered me and probably always will, because it'll just be something that always will, that they get a say in how many family dwelling it's allowed to have. Mm. Like, okay, they get to control how many dogs I'm allowed to have, how many cats I'm allowed to have, how many people are allowed to live in my home, how to set up things in my backyard. Can I have a pool? Can I have a shed? Can I have a garage? Where it's all located? And it drives me insane because my thought is the amount of money that I'm putting out there to quote unquote own these places, I should have a say over my own fucking shit. And the government should just be happy that they get paid an exorbitant amount of money for the privilege of not having to do a damn thing with my land or my area. So for me, it's one of those things of politics are remarkably both too involved and not involved enough in everything to do with the population. They want to be involved in telling you all of these things, but they don't want to be involved in the actual, okay, well, yeah, you're right. This would make more sense if you were allowed to have more than X amount of people living in your house. Okay, you can't have. So in Dana's case, she has herself, IT, her mom, and her son living there. Now, if you weren't all related, they'd be like, oh, well, no, that's too many people. You can't have all those people living in there. But if you're related, it's okay. You can put your family in danger. That's no. Fine. We don't care about that.
No, you can have them living there if they're not family, but we're just going to charge you more taxes.
Exactly.
We're going to come up with a tax for that.
I would say there's going to be the difference. And then there's also that weird fucking old law that just shouldn't be a thing still of you're considered common law if you're married with the opposite sex. And I think it's after, I'm trying to remember if it's after 3 months or six that becomes the thing. It's like, six. That's just weird.
It was six. They lowered it to three.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Sam and Phil now, when they do their taxes, they do their taxes as a couple. Because they're basically at the same address.
Oh my God.
It's such a fucking stupid and weird law. Just so
thanks
fucking
for
weird.
Telling me that, because I'll have to be like, if I get a boyfriend ever, it'll be like on like day, like what's 3 months, like 30,
90 days,
so on day 89
get out,
ass is out.
My God, it's like, well, half the factories in Windsor. We'll hire you in 90 days on your 89th day, fuck off.
Day 89, buddy comes home and all his shit's at the road.
Yep. Yeah. Come back in a day.
Come back when it all resets. It'll be fine then.
No, they made it incredibly difficult for elderly people, mm-hmm, and single, yes, people,
yep,
to live.
Yep.
Yep.
They've made it extremely difficult for young married, well, young adults who are starting their life, very difficult to live.
Yep. Yep.
The taxes that we pay. So at one time, in Ontario, we paid GST and HST, right? We have the two taxes, which equals 15%.
I say HST is what it's called now. It used to be GST and...
PST.
There we go.
Thank you. So we pay two taxes, and then they're like, oh, you guys, you don't have to pay two separate taxes. We're going to amalgamate it into one. It's still going to be the same fucking amount, but you're only going to think you're paying one tax.
It'll make you feel better.
So you pay taxes on... your house.
Everything.
Your car. So.
Income.
I think the house is the one that bothers me the most.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a house. You pay taxes. You get a mortgage. Say you get a. You have 20 years. If at the 18-year mark of your mortgage, you say, oh, you know, I've been able to save up. I've got this much extra money and I've got this much left on my mortgage. I can literally pay off my mortgage 2 years early. They penalize you.
Yep.
They penalize you for paying something sooner than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So you've paid taxes on your house. Oh, now you got to pay property taxes every year. And those property taxes are going to go up at least 3% every 4 years. When we first moved here, our property taxes were about $1,600 a year. We're now almost $4,000 a year.
Oh, my God.
It's been 23 years. It's ridiculous. We're taxed too much and too high. The money that you make. So, Peanut, you're like, I'm over $50,000 as a single person. I should be able to afford a house.
Yeah.
You're $50,000
made,
not $50,000 took home.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Because you tax that.
You've only taken home about $28,000.
Which is like, they tax, so you're taxed, like you said, on your income.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you pay taxes on your everything you pretty much buy.
Yep.
And gas, you get taxed again for.
Yep.
On top of the other taxes. And like, we're just tax. My thing is like, I want to know where these taxes are being spent.
On our shitty roads.
Because we ain't seen what shitty roads. All the roads are still shitty.
That's exactly it. They're being spent on our shitty roads that they won't put into the good effort to make it last longer. Instead, we just continuously shut down the same roads year after fucking year.
Now, come on, ladies. I know we all live in rural areas, but for Windsor, if Mayor Dilkins actually fixed the roads, then how would Coco Paving make $1 million a kilometer fixing them again?
Fuck. I don't know you ladies, but if you drive in freaking Amherstburg on Elma Street, I swear to God that I get two black eyes every fucking day when I drive to work because my fucking tits are hitting me in the eyes.
You don't even have tits.
I know. That's how freaking bumpy it is that my little nubs hit me.
Yeah. Little nubs, pew, 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 pew.
Driven down University Avenue around Bridge Street lately. Oh. Same thing.
Car just falls into the divots where you're like, oh, I live here now.
Like if you don't drive an SUV, you're getting a front end alignment next year.
Oh, yeah.
Hands down.
Now, to also touch on it, because this is a topic that Dana and I have touched on before, but we both keep fairly well-ish informed when it comes to the political stances on things that have to do with the LGBTQ community as a whole, especially when it comes to America. And places that are, Dana's like, soapbox, here comes, oh, I'm already on it. So places in America, like, we'll go with Florida for its fucked upness. And their attempt to try and basically wipe away transgendered people in general, because they put into place new laws that they sort of snuck in there that most general populace doesn't know about, where it's, if people even have suspicions or even accuse you, you don't even actually have to be supportive of your child. Your supportive doesn't even have to be transitioning, anything like that. If someone even accuses you of it, your child can be taken away from you for child endangerment. Because someone looked at you, you might as well go back to the Salem witch trials and say, oh, thy be a witch.
Yeah, somebody's like, you're wearing plaid. You're a lesbian.
That's exactly.
Oops. I wore plaid the other day.
I know, that's what I mean, though, but that's like, that's their thinking, right? Dana, yep. you'd be branded.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here. I'm like, I'm not wearing plaid. I'm safe.
Ladies, I have arm tattoos. I'm already branded.
So this is where...
Don't you know, people like me with a hoop in my nose and half of a sleeve on one arm and almost a half a sleeve on the other arm, my whole back covered and half my legs done, I am a menace to society.
Seriously, your 52. Whole back is done? You have tattoos on your back?
Peanut's like, get undressed. I want to see this.
I was thinking that, but how do you
I actually have right down get the naked middle woman. Of my back, I have a giant dragon.
Really?
And underneath it, it says fierce.
Take it off.
I have
take it off.
The Red Wing logo with Steve Eiserman's autograph. I have my cat's paw print. I have Scooby-Doo. I have a yellow rose for my brother. I have a giant butterfly for my kids. A couple more. I can't remember.
I want to see Scooby-Doo.
I want to see a dressed
woman.
I'll have Norm take a photo for you.
Yeah, yes. Yes, he will.
He let me get a dress.
And I'll send it to you in the private chat.
Yeah, that moment where you're like, it's not going on the page. Just for any of our listeners, Keanu Reeves, calm down.
So... Yeah. So this is where, like, I'm going to say, like, I'm ignorant towards, like, the happenings that are going on with, like, the gay community and the laws and stuff. And even with just politics in general, I have an ignorance of it because I find that if I watch the news, if I pay attention and read those articles, it really just upsets me so much. It's, I get like to the point where it's just unbelievable, some of the shit that is happening. And it does, if you read that and you see that every day, it's really like plays on your mental health. And I know this is going to sound like very awful, very ignorant. It doesn't.
Disclaimers.
Yes.
Go ahead.
It doesn't affect me personally. So it's something I feel that I don't. There's so much out there that affects me and that. Like, I feel like I can't really do anything about it. And so I kind of ignore it for my own mental health.
Well, I mean,
and that's fine. I'm an ally. I'm not in the community myself. I'm an ally.
Like,
and that's because my brother is openly gay. I have non-binary friends. I have lesbian friends.
You do?
Well, wow, yeah, obviously I do too, but I feel like it angers me because I feel like it's retardedness. We should all be treated equal. I shouldn't have said retardedness, right? It's okay. Bullshit. It's bullshit.
It's okay.
Like, it's bullshit.
It is.
Like,
it is bullshit.
I don't think it's right. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair. And honestly, I'm going to use the word retard because I think that people that think that way, they are. They're retarded to think that way. They're just wrong. Well, something wrong with your thinking.
I would say, and for me, it's one of those things of, like, you think about, so how you feel about it with you saying that you're not even part of the community and how angry it makes you and upset and all that kind of stuff. Now amplify that by about 10 to 100 times, depending on the member of the community. But that's how we all feel when we see our rights being taken away from us.
Yeah.
And add on top of that, a huge element of fear, where before it was never a concern about going stateside and being gay. It never even, like, it was like, okay, yeah, there's a huge gay populace over there. We all fucking know. You never really worried about it. You're like, okay, yeah, they have gay people. They treat them fine. Like, it's not perfect, but nowhere ever is. Whereas now it's gotten to the point where it's not safe. Like, I hugely, hugely, hugely worry about all of my friends that live over there, whether they be trans, non-binary, gay, lesbian, whatever they identify as. I am genuinely afraid that one day I'm going to get a text from their parents or something, or their significant other saying, crying, saying, oh my God, some random person came up and because they hate gays, they killed her and strung her up from a tree as an example. And that is, it's just one of those fears that I never thought that I'd have to really worry about growing up in this day and age. Like, my mom fought for so much for me growing up, like, not that obviously it was a known fact that I was going to be gay just because gay people touched me, but still.
They turned you.
They did. They got their toaster ovens. Well, those fuckers.
That's my favorite misconception, is that if a gay person looked at you, they turn you.
Well,
doesn't help when I sit there and go, well, of my five exes, yeah, four of them were straight.
But no, you know, Taylor, I feel your pain.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, Peanut, it angers you. And mm-hmm. I'm with Taylor in the 10 to 100 times more, because every time my brother says he's going to the States,
oh,
I literally tell him, text me when you get home. I don't care. Yes. If it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, because I
yes.
worry so much about him. Because he is flamboyantly gay. Yes.
I was just about to say exactly that.
He's flamboyant about it.
Well, there is absolutely no denying it. Anyone would be able to clock him from a mile away and be like, oh, that bitch is gay. Like, there's no camouflage for him.
Well, first, I was just about to say, a couple weeks ago, I actually heard on the news, the Detroit news, that they were warning Canadians not to travel to the States, mm-hmm. which, like, is just, to me, like, again, I can't even imagine. I can't even put myself into that situation where I have to worry. Like, I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to have to worry about going someplace because of who you like. Right? Like, what sex you like. Second, I find it really just strange that they are so backtracking, when I feel like it's so out there now. Like, people mm-hmm. are so not hiding who they are. It's on TV shows, like almost every show that you see, books, commercials, mm-hmm. movies. Like, it's so prominent now that I just find it very, very weird that now they're backtracking.
It's such a weird shock to the system when you look at, we're back to being out in the public again and being not ostracized and it being more normal. And yet at the exact same time, it's also being backtracked, where it's like, it's such a stark difference when you look at something like that, where you're all like, gays are here, yay. And then you also have the ones, blow up the bars, yay. it's weird to have them both at the exact same time.
Gay people are so much fun.
Yes, we are. We're fucking fantastic.
No, I'm serious. Like, there's, you guys are, I find, like, people, like, you, like, you seem so cheery and
oh, and there's happy. Plenty that aren't.
Like, your personalities and that are so big and happy and cheerful and delightful.
Well, and a lot of times it's because we've had to, when you look throughout the history of it and you think about, like, for my Uncle Jimberly, back in the 90s, he and my mom opened, trying to remember, JP's. It's what used to be in, oh my God, that place that has the best fish and chips in all of Windsor.
Oh, wow. Manchester? I don't eat fish and
Kildare's?
Chips.
Kildare, thank you. The Kildare House. That used to be a gay bar back when I was a baby. When I was 2 weeks old, I think it was when they opened. My mom and him ran it there. And even back, so that was 92. They got bashed by cops. They would do raids. They came in. My uncle got beat on because he was a gay man. So unless my mom was there, if my mom was there, then the cops would be fine because Tits was there. She would go streaking through the bar with the other topless. Well, she was a lesbian, but the other topless woman. That made it okay. Whereas if they weren't, the customers, there'd be night raids. They'd go in, beat the crap out of them. And that was just back in 92, 31 years ago, was an issue, which is just sad to see at this point. And then to now get to 2023 and we're having issues like that again. It's like, what the fuck has gone wrong in the world?
So I don't want to blame one person. I don't want to blame one person in American politics.
Trump.
But the reversal of Roe v. Wade, I think, really started the landslide of human rights being taken away from people. Mm-hmm. Basic human rights. Like, everybody should have the right to live the fucking life that they want to live. If you're not filleting children on the side of the road, I don't give a fuck what you're doing then. Like, live your life how you want to live it. Just don't flay children or make skins out of women. Make, you know, Buffalo Bill style.
I was just going to say, that's it. There's no more Buffalo Bill for you.
I kind of would prefer if nobody flayed anybody on the side of the road.
Okay, just keep it away from the side of the road.
So, in my heart, I honestly feel that the reversal of Roe v. Wade just started such a landslide.
Oh, 100%.
I'm sorry to use this term, minorities losing their rights.
Yep.
Because, and again, I didn't want to name one person, Taylor did. But you look at the states that are passing into law and taking away the rights of the LGBTQ communities. Florida, Governor Santos, DeSanto. I don't know how to put it, like, politically, but he's a Trump guy.
Yes.
So it's fascinating to me that there's politicians out there in the U.S. that allow this to happen. And I know it's not part of our conversation, but the fuck, no man is ever going to tell me what the fuck to do to my body.
Oh,
ever. Yeah. And if you think that abortions are bad, then give every fucking guy that reaches sexual maturity a vasectomy, because at least they can be reversed. Like, mind blowing. So yeah, like I believe that whole Roe v. Wade being overturned just opened the fucking basement door for basic human rights to fly right out the fucking window. And it's a shame, because that negativity is now coming over into Canada, where you heard about the professor in Waterloo that was attacked because she was teaching
gender studies,
and she got attacked by somebody who didn't agree with the policies of gender study. Okay, you know what? I don't believe in a lot of things. I'm not out there flaying people off the side of the road. Mind-boggling. Just mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. And it just sets up, like, I'm sure in the future when classes are being taught about history and they see this particular point in time and it's being taught to the students, I believe and hope, I guess, to a certain degree, that the professors will go over it and say this was a dark point in history when mental health took a nosedive. The government did not step in and actually help with it. They made it worse. Rights were being taken away from people left, right, and center. And I hope that somewhere in the very near future, mental health does recover for so many people and that it's taken more seriously. But it's going to be a battle, I think, for all of it, just because there's so many things coming at us.
Absolutely.
And it's all one of those things of when you look at politics, you're like, if you guys put into place the proper programs for all of it, make mental health covered in OHIP. OHIP is our
Ontario Health.
Something.
Our government paid health.
Yes. It should have dental. It should have mental health. And it should have the general health, other things like that.
Did we not?
By the way, OHIP doesn't cover eye exams anymore.
Oh, that's right.
I was just going to ask that I thought that, like, I knew they used to cover the eye and they took that away.
Every 2 years.
I thought dental was covered too.
Nope. Not even a little.
Used to be, sorry. Nope. I knew it isn't now. I thought it used to be it.
You want to know how you get dental covered?
Be old.
So say you have a bad tooth.
No, even when you're old, Taylor, it's not covered.
Say you have a bad tooth. Mm. Have somebody smack you with a hammer and break your jaw, because then you have to go to the hospital and they'll fix it for free under OHIP.
I never thought of that.
But then you'll be sitting in the ER for 2 days waiting.
Not waiting to see a doctor.
I think it depends how much you're bleeding.
I was going to say, even if you're bleeding, all they do is they take you in the back room, shove some gauze in there to stop it, and then put you right back out there in line.
Trust me, it depends how much you're bleeding.
Remember how much time I spent in the ER with my mother? I watched a guy come in bleeding profusely because his finger got lopped off, and they took him to the back. I'm like, I'm okay with him going back there. 5 minutes later, he came walking back out just completely covered in, like, gauze and sat there. By the moment I leaned forward and looked at him, went, they didn't take you in? He's like, no, I have to wait.
Yeah.
Did he at least have the finger so they could reattach it?
He seemed to have it in his other hand.
Awesome.
Yeah, my ex-husband one night fell through our glass outside table, picnic table thing. I deny. But no, this is when I still liked him. And sliced his knee open. And let me tell you, ladies, I'm not good in these situations. And it was during a massive, like, thunderstorm too. I am not who you want to be with when these things happen. Like, he's in the bathroom and blood's pouring out. There's pieces of glass sticking out. I'm like shaking, almost passing out. I got to drive him. I'm like, hurry up, let's go. Come on.
I can see Peanut. Come on. Let's go.
Yep.
We get
in the car. It's like you can't even see. It's raining so hard. I'm freaking driving 1,000 miles an hour to get us there. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, are you okay? Oh my God, are you okay? Are you gonna bleed to death? Like, I am the worst person. And let me tell you, they just stuck him in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm. Did he suffer a towel. Femoral artery? Is that what you were
No. No. He had to get, like, he just sliced his knee open. He had to get stitches and that, but there's glass and stuff. I do not like blood. And, oh my, like, I'm awful. Another time we were, when I was a teenager, don't ask why we do these things. We decided, a group of us decided to go ice hopping on Lake Erie. And one of us fell in. And
one of us, no names mentioned.
No, it wasn't me. But one of us fell in, and you know what? I totally froze. I just stood there. Like, she would have drowned if other people wouldn't have been there.
Okay, I totally, so Peter is not I am, who we have for help.
You are, I am not.
Please, like, make a note. Don't call Peanut in a disaster.
Trip me on the way, knock me down, do something, because I ain't going to be of any help.
I'm okay with it as long as I'm not running from the police. And you can talk to my brother about that, because he took a railroad spike into the knee. And it wasn't technically the police, it was Chrysler Security that we were running from.
I ran from the police too one time. And let me tell you, this chick can fucking move.
She walked slower than molasses at work, but oh, you get the cops behind her. What's a bilbo?
Well, we lived out in the county, and me and my cousin. And, like, we always hung around together, and we had this brilliant idea that we were going to stick little, like, firecrackers in pairs and throw them at cars. And so we were hiding behind this bush, and it was, back in the day when neon was popular. So I had, like, a neon yellow greenish shirt on. Well, and anyways,
you could have been wearing a pie sign that said I'm throwing pears at cars.
Right.
With explosives.
So we're like hiding behind this bush, and this car is coming down the road, and like my cousin throws out the pear, and I'm like, what the fuck was that? I'm like, the car is like still like a half a mile up the road. Like, you need to do it when it's closer. So, and we're on the county, like bumfucked Idaho. And so the car, next cars come in, and so we wait till it gets closer and he throws it out. It's a fucking cop car. And so then the cop car like stops, and we're like trying to hunker down behind this like bush that wasn't very bushy. And then we're like, we back up and the cop car backs up. And then we're like, oh, like, we got to get the fuck out of here. So we decided to make a run for it. And I took the long way to my house, and he took the short way. And I fucking beat him to our freaking house. And we run inside, and my dad's, like, in the living room. And we run in, and we're like, and we run through that. We say, what are you two up to? We're like, fucking nothing. And we run into my bedroom. We're like looking out the front window, and the cops are like slowly driving by.
So all I'm going to say is about my youth and the bad things I did was Anne was with me.
That's it. We're going to have a bonfire at your place, and Anne's coming, and we're going to be like, listen, we need details.
Yeah, spill it.
Firecrackers, letting the air out of tires, stealing pop bottles. Anne was there for all of them.
Oh, my God.
Yes, my friend, I'm throwing you under the bus with me.
The bus was backing up, and all of a sudden, what the hell is that? Dana's just shoving the body under it. This was a good episode this week. Covered everything.
And we've gone a little over time.
Oh yeah, for sure. I gave up timing it.
We're at 1:29, so we'll say adieu. Have a good week. We're not gonna do what you love about yourself. We don't have time. Everybody just say goodbye.
We're not even. Don't forget to like us on all of the platforms.
If you want to know what platforms, go listen to another episode.
We promise we'll have all of the stuff back together next. Oh, next week will be shit. I had it open.
That's our ploy now to get them to listen.
Oh, next week is going to be about, because it was something that Dana actually talked about, and I told her that we'd do an episode eventually. Here's eventually.
Uh-oh.
About famous people and paparazzis. And how that affects, how it affects the famous people, mental health, whether it should be a thing, how we think that it affects them, how we would like it. And
I think Britney Spears will be mentioned once or twice.
It's going to be a few of them probably mentioned. And then sometime within the next few weeks, hopefully, I'll be able to get my friend Amy to hop onto the show, because I do have a body shaming episode planned. So hopefully I can lock that cheerleader down and be like, listen, she is our Jamie Lee Curtis. She will talk amazingly.
Excellent. That too, we want, I'm trying to get my sister as well, remember?
Yes.
For that, and I know she's listening, so.
We're just gonna guilt them into it with each episode.
I know you're listening.
Vanilla beans.
That didn't sound creepy and perverted at all.
Oh, what's that? I can hear banjos playing. Ding, 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 ding. End the episode. Jesus, it's getting worse.